As you're being seated, take your copy of God's Word. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, as we get to pick up in our study through the book of Colossians. See what the Lord has for us this morning. Again, we are going to pick up here in chapter 2, but all of it is really going back to chapter 1 and the greatness of Christ and who He is, the image of the invisible God. And all of us and all that we do centers around who Jesus Christ is. And have you ever noticed how much of a struggle it is to get here on Sundays sometimes? And how much it is a problem, you know, and I've learned the secret. I get here really early. And Nicole has to deal with all the kids and getting them ready and getting all the screaming and all that done. And you know, there's a lot of struggles that it seems to comes up. And it's amazing that how we can get to work easily 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, but worship service at 11 a.m. on a Sunday. And it's just the hardest thing known to man to be able to get there. Why is there such a struggle? As we see here in chapter 2, as it begins in verse 1, Paul's going to say, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you. You know, the struggle is there for preachers as well. And Robert Cavanaugh, he reminded me of that this morning. As he told me a little story about a contractor, a preacher, and a golfer decided to take up hunting because it was new to all of them. And they were out hunting, and there they saw a 10-point buck. They all got excited, and they stirred a little bit, and they spooked the buck, and the buck began to take off. And so they all three just shot at the buck and tried to hit it. And as soon as the all three of them shot together, all of a sudden the buck drops. So they begin to talk, and they say, well, did you hit it? Did you hit it? I don't know. Who hit it? So they go up to the buck. And they're looking, and all of a sudden the game warden happens to be in the area, and he hears these three going back and forth about who hit the buck. So the game warden comes up and says, well, here, let me look, and I'll see if I can tell you who hit the buck. The game warden inspects the deer a little bit. He sees where the bullet went through. He says, uh-huh, that's it. He said it was the preacher. The preacher hit the buck. The three look at each other like, how did he know that? He said, because the bullet went in one ear and right out the other. You know, sometimes it is a struggle walking this Christian life. And sometimes it is a struggle when we know that we should be worshiping, but yet our heart is hurting, and we know that we should be doing something that we need to be doing. And there's a struggle that happens. And why do we experience that? Well, here in Colossians chapter 2, Paul talks about this struggle, but he does so and he brings out the joy of what it means to be together. This morning, the message is titled A Symbiotic Growth. And there's a reason why I chose this word, and I'll show you in just a moment. A symbiotic growth. Read with me here in Colossians chapter 2, why we should fight for this symbiotic growth. Chapter 2, verse 1, he says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments, for though I am absent in the body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Here we see the main point, and this is what I want you to see this morning, and we're going to unpack this truth, that growing together allows for the full expression of love. Growing together allows for the full expression of love. And that's what Paul is bringing about here in this idea. And remember, this is connected to the struggle that he talked about at the end of chapter 1 and verse 29. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. He's wanting to present every man mature in Christ, and he is working at this. He's working at this. And what is he trying to do? He is wanting to see them united for the sake of Jesus Christ. This struggle I have for you and those at Laodicea are all that have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together. He wants them to experience the full expression of love. Listen, folks, love is something that you can't do by yourself. You say, well, wait, can I love myself? Yeah, that's not love. That's selfishness. When we love ourselves, we cannot experience the full expression of love without somebody else there to be committed to, without somebody else there to be sacrificial towards, to give towards. Unfortunately, this idea has really broken down in our society, and we have made marriages, we've made our lives solely about what brings us joy, what brings us fulfillment, and all of a sudden our marriages break down, our loving relationships break down, because it's all centered around the self. There's not the full expression of love because the other person's not a part of the view. And this happens in our relationship with the Lord as well. Paul is saying, I want you to experience the full expression of love. And that cannot happen apart from the body of Christ. That you have this opportunity to work with the body of Christ, to be in the body of Christ, to experience this full expression of the love of Jesus Christ, that we might be able to push towards others out there. Growing together allows for the full expression of love. Unfortunately, when we say, well, you know what, I can worship by myself. I can walk this Christian road by myself. I don't need church to grow as a Christian. Or I can, you know, decide these different things, and I can make up my convenience schedules for these different, and we don't apply ourselves to the body, we are missing the full expression of the love of Christ. Because in the body, we get to experience this symbiotic growth, this growth together as a body of believers through what Jesus Christ has done. One thing I always find very interesting is, you know, we're very good about talking about it's the relationship and the relationship. And sometimes we can take that to the point of being so individually focused. That as long as I have my Bible reading, as long as I have this, and as long as I do this, and it's about my knowledge, and all of a sudden it all becomes me focused, and our worship becomes me focused instead of Christ focus. Think about Paul when he was on the road to Damascus. What did Christ say to him? Say, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Why did he say that? Paul was killing those that professed belief in Jesus Christ. We start with, you know, you see the stoning of Stephen and all those. And he didn't say, hey, Paul, why are you persecuting that group of people? Why are you persecuting those believers? Why are you persecuting, that gathering that's out there? No, what did he say? Why are you persecuting me? You see, Jesus Christ has a full sense of the body through the church that is gathered together to allow for this full expression of the love. And as we see this here, Paul's going to show us why we need to struggle for that. It starts first that we want this symbiotic growth, we want to struggle for it because, number one, it stretches us. It stretches us. Now, if I did a poll in here this morning of how long it's been since you have stretched, all right, it would be kind of interesting because, you know, if you know my stretches, if you asked me to stretch right now, I'd be like, that's good, all right, I did that. I think I just pulled something. You know, we think about stretching, and what does stretching do? You know, our college, our high school football coaches, when we would start practice, we always started with stretching. We always started with stretching because it was an opportunity to get your muscles ready for the work. And not only that, but stretching allows you to push yourself farther. Notice what Paul says there. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea. A great struggle. Now, we have seen this word earlier in verse 29. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy. And this word is the Greek word where we get the word agony from. But what's interesting about this word is it was used as a place of contest for a while there in Greek, when they would get together for the Olympic Games and these different things. And then it began to be used as a word that meant for the contest for itself, for the struggling itself, the struggling, the wrestling, the running and the marathons and all that took place. That they were struggling, and not just struggling for anything, they were struggling to win. They were struggling to win. And so this idea of struggle here is an idea of stretching us for the win. Stretching us that we might see Christ go forward. We might see something more. Something that will stretch us. I'm afraid we have gotten to the point that sometimes where it's very easy not to push ourselves anymore. Not to stretch ourselves for the Lord anymore. We want to get in those comfortable positions. And you know what? That's why I don't stretch, because it's uncomfortable. You know the thing I hated the most going up in grade school? Sit and reach. All right, they put that contraption of the devil there, that box with all those marks on it, and you had to put your legs down, and they would hold your knees, those workers of Satan. And they would tell you to bend forward and stretch and reach out as far as you could. And my little chubby self tried his hardest to get to like 10. All right. Why did they do that? They wanted to see how flexible you, how much you can stretch. If you don't stretch your muscles, what happens? They constrict. If we do not stretch our muscles for Jesus Christ, what's going to happen? We're going to get comfortable. And we're no longer going to struggle for what Jesus Christ wants us to struggle for. Paul says, I want you to grow together and I want you to struggle for it. I want you to stretch for it just the way that I have. And notice, I have for you and for those at Laodicea. Remember that. And for all who I have not seen me face to face. Paul here is struggling. He's stretching himself even for those he has not yet seen. Even for those that he has not come about. This is showing you the heart of Paul and how he had such a desire to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. This ministry at Colossae happened because of Epaphroditus and then these ones that went forward with the ministry that they had learned from Paul. They had spread it to Colossae. They had spread it to Laodicea. They had spread this beyond, and he's saying, listen, I am struggling for you. I want to see you grow, and I want to see you stretched. I want to see you grow up in Jesus Christ, even though I have not seen you face to face. That is the heart and the concern that we should have in growing together. As once said of the great preacher and evangelist George Whitefield, who is known as one of the great revival speakers in America and in Britain, that one day the Scottish philosopher David Hume, he was a skeptic, didn't really believe in the gospel. He was going to hear George Whitefield, to hear him preach, and someone saw David Hume walking to see George Whitefield, and he said, David, you don't even believe the gospel. Why are you going to listen to George Whitefield? He said, I don't believe the gospel, but he does, and I want to hear it. I wonder if the same would be true of us, that we'd be seen as stretching ourselves for the cause of Christ. Here this past week, one of the NBA stars, Steph Curry, got a new contract. Did you see it? 5 years, $201 million. If you break that down, he's making $77 a minute. $201 million. He's one of the most prolific shooters in the NBA. And he got that way because he pushed himself. In 2011, he hired a personal coach, and they set up a gym in North Carolina, kind of out in the backwoods. And this personal coach began training routines with Steph Curry, and he called him Overload. That he would try to max out all of his senses. He made him dribble two basketballs at one time. He made him dribble two basketballs, then catch a tennis ball, and he tried to overload all his senses, and he put in all this work, all this work, all this work. Do you think when Steph Curry won the NBA championship, when he signed that contract for $201 million, did he say, you know what? I really wish I didn't do all that struggling. I really wish I didn't do all that work. It just doesn't pay. Do you know we as Christians do the same thing when we say, you know what, I don't want to do the work for the gospel. We need to turn it around and say, you know what, doing the work, doing the struggling, putting in the hours, investing in people, investing in lives, opening my mouth and sharing Jesus Christ with others. It's a struggle. It's a fight. But you know what? He is worth it. He's worth it for what he's done for us. It stretches us. The second thing we see here in verse 2 is that it unites us. This symbiotic growth is something we should fight for because it unites us. Verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of the full assurance of the understanding and knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. I love this verse in verse 2. It brings in so many different senses. But there we see that their hearts may be encouraged. What? Being knit together in love. The word here for encouraged, it's a word that's also used for describing the Holy Spirit. The parakaleo, the paraclete. It means to come alongside. He said, I hope that their hearts are encouraged because there's people that are coming alongside. You know what? You are sitting here today not as individuals, but as a body of Christ because there's people here that can come alongside you. And there's people here that should come alongside you. It is the body of Christ that we walk this road together so that we can encourage one another. Because you know what? This person over here might have a bad day. And this person over here might have a bad day next week. But there is someone here in this congregation that can come alongside and say, you know what? Jesus Christ is faithful. I'm praying for you. I'm here for you. I'll listen. I'll be a shoulder for you. Whatever you need to help us through these things. But then he says that they're not only are they encouraged, this coming alongside, notice, being knit together in love. The word here for knit together is the Greek word symbimbazo. It's the word we get symbiotic from. Symbiotic means two organisms basically living off of each other and working together in different forms, different fashions. But here, this word is bringing about this idea of being joined together. We see it used later on in chapter 2. Look at verse number 19. It says, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. And we'll see that he's going to be talking about being knit together with the head, which is Jesus Christ. So this sense of being knit together here, being symbiotic, is the idea of being joined together. See, I want you to be joined together with others, joined together in love. Too many times we try to walk this Christian walk alone and we try to say, you know what, no one knows what's going on in my life, or, you know what, I will pick and choose what I'm involved in. I'll pick and choose what fits my schedule. I'll pick and choose what fits my abilities. I'll pick and choose these different areas to be involved in. And all of a sudden, we have made this walk that's supposed to be together all about what is convenient and comfortable for me. And then all of a sudden, we become separated from the group. Proverbs 18:1 tells us, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. And that's what happens when we don't value the gathering of the body together. We seek our own desire. We rage against all wise judgment. You know, there is a reason why the Lord included in Scripture in Hebrews 10:24 and 25 to consider one another, to love, to stir one another up, not neglecting the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. Because you see, as a body of believers, we get to encourage one another and we get to be united together. And we get to do that in a way that then becomes powerful and moving together. When we isolate ourselves, we begin to find trouble. Let me show you. All right, Jacob, where you at? Come here, Jacob. I'm going to pick on you for a minute. Mr. Gary, come here, Mr. Gary. That's because he's sitting on the very back row back there. All right, he's going to come forward. All right, Jacob, are you right-handed, left-handed? Right-handed. Good, you're standing on the right side. It just naturally happened that way, right? All right, and here comes Mr. Gary. Mr. Gary is a lefty. All right, so I want you to stand right here next to Jacob. All right, and this is the fun part. Y'all stand together.
Yeah.
Legs together. All right. Blessed be the tie that binds. All right. All right. Now, I put it on the sock, so you're okay. All right. Mostly. Mostly. So we're looking here. Jacob's right-handed. Gary's left-handed. All right. Now, this is just who they are. That's who they are. That's who their being is. And that's just the way that they have gone through life. They've gone through life together in these different ways, doing these things right-handed, doing it left-handed. Now, if I wanted you to go to that back door, and because you're right-handed, I want you to go this direction. Because that's who you are, right? You're going to go this direction. All right, Gary, because of who you are, you're lefty, you're going to go this way. All right? So you're going to go this direction. So when I say go, I want you to get to the back door, but I want you to go just by who you are. All right? Ready? Go. I know. I love how they're just staring at me like, are you serious? All right? So let's think about this. Because of who you are, and if you tried to go your own path, you try to go your direction, how effective is it going to be together? You didn't move, all right? Now, if I say you who are right-handed, you who are left-handed, all right, I want you together to go in one direction. I want you to go inside foot first, outside foot second, and I want you to walk straight ahead together, forgetting about that you're right-handed and that you're left-handed. Do you think you could do that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, ready? Go. Inside, outside. Inside, outside. Inside, outside. It's getting there. All right. Thank you. All right, you can stop. All right. Now you can go back there and take off the duct tape and maybe the few hairs with it. Why do that? There is an illustration there of what happens a lot of times in our churches. Because a lot of times we come here and we try to go our left-handed way. Or we try to go our right-handed way. Because it's who we are. It's what we do. It is who God has made me, right? Is there anything wrong with being left-handed? No. Is there anything wrong with being right-handed? No. But when we come to the cause of Christ wanting to do it our own way, where are we going to go? Nowhere. If we pick and choose what we want to be involved in, if we pick and choose how we want to go to Christ, and we do it our way, what happens? We stay stagnant. But here Paul's saying, I want you to be knit together in love. I want you to experience the full expression of love. I want you to be able to go to that goal of Jesus Christ and knowing Him and all that's there by in a united way that you're going to put aside who you are, that you're going to sacrifice who you are so that you might go together with a brother, a sister in Jesus Christ so that others might need to get to know Him. When we try to go our own separate ways, we go nowhere. But when we decide to do it as knit together, then we can go somewhere. And we can do it together. It unites us. Thirdly, it expands us. Because notice there, at the end of verse 2 and verse 3, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here then, he says, it will expand you. Your depth of knowledge will begin to change. And I love this fact because this really brings out the picture, the subject here. What is the subject of this knowledge, of this understanding? He said, which is Christ. You see, all that we're doing here is not just for self-help. All that we're doing here is not just for self. All that we're doing here is a response to who He is, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the one that came, that died, who was buried and rose again so that our sins might be taken care of. And that gospel is His message, and that truth is His truth. I want you to be knit together. I want you to unite so that then we can see expanded the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I love the picture that John gives us in John chapter 14 and verse 21. He says, "As you love me and you will obey and you abide in me and you obey my words and that you will follow my direction." And he says, "And I will manifest myself to you." The word manifest means to reveal. He says, when you follow, when you walk with the Lord and you do what He would have you to do, He will begin to reveal. He'll expand that knowledge. You ever notice that as you obey and as you walk with the Lord, that all of a sudden He begins to show you how good He is in these different ways? That all of a sudden He begins to show you how wonderful He is, even in the midst of the storm. Just like singing "It Is Well" this morning, written from a man who lost it all, who could say, "It is well." To sing "Cornerstone," "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness." And we can say that when all of a sudden we begin to follow the Lord and we expand our depth of knowledge. Listen, understand here, what is that depth? What is the richness? What is the full assurance of understanding? Is it what we learn? Is it what we know? No, it's Jesus Christ. When what we know and what we understand gets in the way of Jesus Christ, then we've got an issue. If it gets in the way of the body of Christ, then there is an issue. And we need to make sure that our depth and our knowledge is expanding through what God has provided in this body. He says, "I want you to be knit together, to grow together, so that you can experience the full assurance of understanding, that knowledge of who God is, which is Christ." And there's a whole nother backstory to this passage and this aspect here in speaking on the heresy that the Colossians were dealing with. Remember, the Colossians are dealing with the Gnostics, the ones that think that Christ was just a part of God, that He wasn't fully God, who they needed to add something to Jesus. They needed to add more knowledge. And He's saying, "No, listen, it's all in Jesus. And there in Jesus Christ, when we are growing together, then we can see it expanded even more." Think about the type of love that you have to learn in different aspects when you do it together. I tell you, in a family of five, in a car for 15 hours, sometimes that's tested. But you know what? You have a family to be able to learn how to love more than just yourself. To learn how to love more people. And you know what? There's people in this congregation that need others to love them and need an avenue to be able to love somebody back. To be able to grow and expand that knowledge, because think about who Jesus Christ was. He was the one that came for the sinners. That God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved others. It expands our knowledge. And then fourthly, we see it protects it. Look at verse 4. "I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." He gives there another practical aspect of this growing together. He says, "I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments." That no one will stop you with some other idea, some other philosophy, some other vain deceit, which we're going to see down in verse 8. That no one will stop you. You know what I found? That it's a lot easier to give excuses of why not to be a part of God's work in the church than it is to. Because I guarantee you, I hear a lot more excuses and reasons why people are not a part of it than reasons why they do. And reasons why they are. There are so many plausible arguments. that could be out there made. And sometimes in our own thinking, you know what, it's okay this week, I don't need it this week, or, you know, I'll be fine, or I'll do this, and I'll do that. And we use all these different little plausible arguments. But yet, when you're with the body, you have an opportunity to find yourself in that accountable group in the church that helps keep us from sin. People that are willing to say, you know what, I'm going to help you stay away from this week. Or how many, you know what, I'm going to check on you this week. Or, you know what, I've been missing you these past few weeks. And as a body of believers, as somebody that are grown together, we have the opportunity to keep away from the plausible arguments and to think about one another. To see what Jesus Christ would have for all of us together. That's the opportunity we have together, this symbiotic growth. Think about, you know, the devil is referred to as the roaring lion. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Remember who a lion goes after. He doesn't go after the pack. He goes after the one that separates himself. The one that's got a gimp. The one that's got the weakness. And they separate themselves from the pack, and the devil goes after that. You know what? There is a strength in the numbers that no matter how hard your life may be going and what all might be doing, there's a reason why we get to do it together. So Paul here is giving us these reasons why we should grow together. It allows for this full expression of love. And all of this coming on the heels of chapter 1 and seeing who Jesus Christ was. Because He is this mystery, because He is this full assurance, this full understanding, He's lifting up Jesus and saying, because of who He is, we gather together, we grow together, so that others might see that in us. Now, I remember, if you look back at verse 1, there was another group of people here that he's talking about. He says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those where? At Laodicea. This morning, as we think about this and the opportunities that we have the opportunity to close out our service here with a call to response. We have the opportunity to go through it just the way that we've always have. We'll sing our song. Hopefully it won't go too long. And then we'll go from here. And maybe we'll be back next week. You see, there was more than just the Colossians that Paul is telling us to. That church at Laodicea. You know what they're famous for? Do you remember the other instance that they're mentioned in the Bible? Revelation chapter 3. In the letter to the churches, in the seven churches, we see a letter to the church at Laodicea. And notice what happens. Notice what the Lord says to this church in Revelation 3 and verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen. The faithful and true witness, the one who knows, the one who has seen it all, the one who's been faithful through it all, the beginning of God's creation, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn that we see in Colossians. Verse 15, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you would either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say I am rich and I have prospered and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and to salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. For this I struggle. For this I fight. So that you might grow together, the church at Colossae, the church at Laodicea. You know what the church at the Laodicea was doing? Meh. Maybe. If I feel like it this week. If I get around to it this week. You know what? If it fits the schedule, if I can find some time. And the Lord says, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. There's two responses that can happen today. The Lord told the church at Laodicea, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. We can get right, we can learn to follow the Lord and grow together, or we can continue to try to go our own ways. And today, the message from Paul in Colossians here is, I want to see you grow together. I want to see this symbiotic growth. That you might know one another's names. That you might know one another's struggles. That you might know one another's burdens. There are those that have walked through this door today who are hurting. Do you know that person? Can you pray for that person? There are those that are walking through this door that need to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There are those that we know in our families and our friends that need to know Jesus as Savior. Do we know those people? You know what? We have a prayer list. And as of right now, I know of one, maybe two, that even though they might not be here on Wednesday night when we go through it, they pick it up on that back table back there. And the rest of those prayer lists just sit. We have an opportunity to grow together, to know one another, to bear one another's burdens, so that Jesus Christ might be made known as the full assurance of the faith. Folks, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the answer? Do you believe that He's the way, the truth, and the life? Can people see that from this church? And folks, that's something that's challenging my heart. Do people see that from us? Do they hear it from us? That Jesus Christ is worth me getting up and being at worship. Jesus Christ is worth me serving in a children's ministry. Jesus Christ is worth my time spending working up here. My time is worth spending working for somebody else out there and doing something for them. My time is worth spending some extra time in a discipleship group. My time is worth spending some extra time in a Sunday school life point group. My time is worth being able to know Jesus Christ and tell somebody else that He is the way, the truth, and the life. That we have that opportunity to do it together. You don't have to do it alone. Don't say meh and go away like Laodicea. Oh, but let's turn. Because as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous and repent. And let's come to Him today. Shall we stand? Right there where you're at, just with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. I want you to peer into your life and in your heart this morning, and as what we have seen here in Colossians chapter 2. Are you struggling? Are you struggling for the Lord? Struggling to fight, to grow? Are you uniting yourself? Or are you separating yourself? Are you being knit together in love with somebody? Are you expanding your knowledge of who Jesus Christ is? Today, do you know what He's done for you? Do you know that He died on a cross to take away your sins? That line in what we sang this morning. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the tree. I bear it no more. That's Jesus Christ. Do you know that personally in your life today? Come, expand it today. Get to know Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Are you protecting one another? Helping each other out, helping each other when someone falls to pick them up, knowing that, you know what, they've been there for me when I've fallen to pick them up, so that we can show that brotherly love that'll impact somebody for Jesus Christ. Today, are you going to respond and obey the voice of the Lord and how He's working in your heart and in your life right now? Are you just trying to buy time? And we're going to go lukewarm to what the Scripture has told us today. In just a moment, we're going to sing. And I pray that our hearts would be open to follow what God is doing in them right now. If you need to get something right, if you need to turn from going your own direction to coming together, come. Tell the Lord that, Lord, I need to get rid of my individual spirit and I need to get to know people for Jesus Christ. You need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to be right here. I want you to come and I want to be able to show you how to know that your sins are forgiven. To have that full assurance and understanding today. But I pray that we would respond unto Him. That we wouldn't go from this place lukewarm, but that we would go hot for Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would work now in this time. Help us, Lord, to put aside all else and to respond to You. Lord, help us in the quietness of our heart to listen to Your Spirit and to respond. To be a church that moves together, that is knit together for Your gospel. Lord, work now as only You can. It's Your Word. It's Your Spirit. And it's Your wonderful gospel. We ask You to do it, for it's in Your name we pray.